Stephen, for those who may not have seen or heard the bowed piano before, let's listen to a little bit of the new piece that you're going to be debuting at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Allen Room.
Well, it's not exactly the first performance, but it's the first New York premiere of this piece,
which
is relatively new, yes, called Afternoon of a Fire.
So if you would, tell us what listeners can't see that's taking place around the piano to create this music.
Well, it's basically inside the grand piano. The lid is removed and 10 players make most of the sounds that you'll hear in this music directly on the strings with different tools and implements, nylon, fish line, guitar picks, piano hammers, mutes, all kinds of devices to make the strings sound in a way that doesn't sound like a piano.
Talk about when you realized the potential of this bowed and picked piano as an instrument and as a piece around which to form an ensemble. Did you know the potential of it when you first? I know it was C. Curtis Smith, I think, who invented the technique, and then you ran with it for your career.
Yeah, well, he invented one technique, which is and I always credit him for it, using the nylon fish line that I mentioned earlier with rosin on it. So it evolved from there into a very diverse sort of orchestra, like a small orchestra in the piano, and that's happened over decades. So we keep adding new ideas and new timbres, sounds, in other words, with new implements and so on and so forth. I didn't really at the start. It was an experimental project in the ordinary use of that word. We were just going to try it out and see what happened, and we did in Packard Hall in 1977, and then we just kept adding to it. So it took a while to realize the potential of this, and I think the potential of it has expanded drastically over these, I guess, 36 years now since we've been doing that. We've been doing a lot of touring, and we're getting a lot of invitations to festivals and so on, and so it's been a great ride.
Now, I presume that when you go, you take the piano, the piano that you use on the road with you?
We don't, because we don't have that much of a budget. We can't afford to take a grand piano. It's very expensive. It used to cost us $1,000 round trip for a piano from the bottom floor of Packard up to the auditorium of Packard, just to move it up there and down. So what we do is to play the pianos where we go, and we make sure in advance that the piano is suitable for us, that it's a large 9-foot grand, that we have permission to do what we do with it, which is to put different kinds of preparations in it, the nylon and other things I was talking about. And it's very friendly to the pianos. So we take stuff in a couple of roller bags, a couple of carry-ons, and a big drafting tube, and we can carry it all on a plane, and we stick it in the piano in a 2 or 3 hour session, and then after we play, we pull it all out and go somewhere else.
Students are obviously a big part of this.
They have, from the beginning.
Yeah. Yes. Do you feel like you would have been able to do this if it weren't for the students that you have access to as a professor at Colorado College?
I think so, at least in several ways. We've had terrific support, and despite what I said earlier about budget, we have a travel budget, and we've had great support from the administration, and working with students, particularly liberal arts students, has turned out to be a really good way to make this happen. I have put together occasionally a professional group, but the students, because they're open to just about anything when they come to college, especially liberal arts college, they latch onto it and they commit to it. They sort of own the process after they've rehearsed some and done some touring and so forth. It's a very unusual event, especially for a liberal arts college, a musical group to go to play, for example, in the Canberra International Music Festival or Tallinn, Estonia, or many of the places that we've been. And so I'm really proud of this group because as students, they are amateurs, literally. They're not paid, although they earn their they get their expenses for these tours that we take. And so they have just been a gold mine of resources for me. And, of course, every year somebody graduates and leaves and new students come in and they have fresh ideas and so forth. So it's helped me a lot. It's been a very collaborative effort, not just the playing of the music, but inventing all these things and learning how to use them and figuring out how to make these sounds that our audience is going to hear soon.
You're going to retire at the end of this year from teaching. Are you going to continue to compose for Bode Piano, or what's next for you?
I'm really ambivalent about that. I mean, I don't have a strict plan yet. I will certainly continue to compose, maybe for other media. I mean, I will be very happy if my music still is performed, if recordings are still being listened to, and so forth.
I think it's fair to say that you have performed in some of the most hallowed chambers of music in the world. Your work has been recognized as some of the most innovative minimalist music of the 20th century. You've studied with many of the greats of avant-garde music, including Steve Reich. Mm-hmm. It is experimental, difficult music in some ways, and yet it has always seemed so accessible, both aurally and visually. And it's something I think you share in common with Steve Reich. It seems like such a difficult thing to achieve. Was that something that you wanted as an artist?
I think so. What's most experimental about it is the way we make the music, the way the piano looks, the way the sounds come, the way they're produced, and so forth. So I think maybe unconsciously, I did want to please audiences, and or I did want for audiences to keep coming back and, you know, to develop a following and so forth. And I learned quite a bit of that from Steve Reich, actually, from my conversations with him and from his history of establishing his own ensemble. That sort of led to another kind of ensemble that would have a similar kind of appeal, I think, an appeal of some sort of sonic beauty that is easy for most audiences to hear and to enjoy.
Stephen Scott, it's been a great pleasure to listen to your music, to see you perform, and greatly appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you, Noel.
All right.
I've enjoyed it, too.
Best of luck.
Thank you.